Every year at this time, we jump into the middle of a story that's been told for hundreds of years. It's a story of cities decorating their streets and their sidewalks. It's a story of trees and ornaments and fireplaces, of gifts and wrapping paper and ribbons. There's expectation and wonder and hope, a deep hope that drives us back to the beginning of the story. Because it all starts here. It starts in a manger with a baby and an angel and a scared teenaged girl in love with a misunderstood young man who thinks she's worth it. It's about a child who will bring light into darkness, joy into despair, revealing a God who will redeem it all. A God who is leaving the glory of heaven to pursue the glory of a cross. A God who is becoming flesh and blood and skin. A God who is loving and offering all people a pathway back into the relationship for which they were created. It's too rich to comprehend and too beautiful to dismiss.
It's the miracle of Christmas. And for some of you, you think that the miracle of Christmas is the fact that, at least at last head count, y'all made it here in one piece. But that's not a miracle. Some of you, the miracle of Christmas is that you're not going to be up half the night putting the toys together. But that's not a miracle. For some of you, the miracle is that at least the last time I checked, the Cardinals were beating the Seahawks. That is no miracle at all. There's a few of you, you think that the miracle of Christmas is the fact that you correctly guessed your wife's dress size. That's, all right, I'll give you that one. That one just might qualify. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. The miracle of Christmas is God coming into our world. The Lord of the universe, so many years ago, taking in his first breath and crying until Mary would pick him up and cuddle him in his arms. The miracle of Christmas is God's incredible demonstration of love, of coming to dwell among us. The miracle of Christmas is the miracle of the manger. It's the miracle of the manger, this humble beginning, this bed made out of a feeding trough with stray as padding for him. But the miracle of the manger then is more. Who's in? Who's in this manger? And that's the miracle of who. As we ask ourselves, who is this baby that isn't greeted by family and friends, but instead by animals who call this stable their home? Isn't visited by dignitaries and kings and queens and corps of state. No, by shepherds who drew the short straw and are on the nightstick. Who is this baby that's completely dependent upon a displaced carpenter and his young bride? Well, the angels told us before he was ever born. The angel came to Mary to tell her that she would have this child. And the angel said, "And the child that is in you shall be called the Son of the Most High God." The angels, when it went out to the shepherds in the field, said that to you a Savior is born who is the Lord. The angels said that this babe in the manger was God himself. This babe, when it grew older, made similar claims about himself. So Jesus said of himself that he was the bread of heaven. He said that he gave living waters. He claimed that he had the authority to forgive sins. And on one occasion, he said that he and the Father in heaven were one, claiming that he was God. The miracle of the manger is the miracle of who, because God entered into our world. If you think about it, it's absurd, is it not? Here it is, the Lord of the universe, the one who is present at all of creation, and now he's completely dependent upon his own creatures for his very survival. God among us. God taking on flesh and blood. God being born into this world, just like all of us were born into this world. He is not a God who is distant from us. He's not a God who's disconnected, off away somewhere in heaven afar. But no, he's one of us. He lived among us, which means he understands us. He can relate to us. That's the miracle of the manger, is the miracle of the who, that God would enter into our world. And if God entered into our world, then that brings up the next question. Why? Why did God come into our world? And then we discover another miracle, because the miracle of the manger is the miracle of why God entered into our world. Now, if I didn't know better, I know how I would answer that. I'd answer that God came into the world to straighten the world out. It reminds me of a billboard that was popular several years back. Maybe you remember seeing this billboard. Don't make me come down there, signed God. Now, see, now that makes sense to me. That makes perfect sense, that God's going to come down here and straighten us out, because we've made such a mess of things. We've made a mess of our world. We've made a mess of our lives. We've come up with new and more cruel ways to treat one another, how we can hurt one another, even kill one another. Everything from our kids having to deal with cyber bullies that sort of disappear and you really can't touch them, all the way to idiots driving buses through a crowd of people, just killing innocent people. It's crazy. And it's scary. So yeah, I can see God saying, I've had enough of this. I got to straighten this all out. He's going to come down here and he's going to hold us accountable. He's going to hold us accountable for all the lies that we've told, all the relationships we've thrown away, all the anger that's in our heart, and all the various ways in which we have messed up his world and our lives. But that's not what the angels say. That's not why he came. The angel, in trying to convince Joseph to take Mary to be his wife, says you need to understand that the one that is born of her, he comes to save his people from their sins. And even the shepherds of the field, today is born to you in the city of David a Savior, one who comes to save his people. God didn't come into our world to condemn our world, but to save it. Jesus himself would describe why the Father sent him into the world. We take a look at John 3:17. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus later on would say that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. And on another occasion he says, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." The miracle of the manger is the miracle of why. God came as a savior of the world. God came to bring peace to our world. First and foremost, peace between us and our Father in heaven, because a great chasm exists between us and our Father in heaven. It is caused by sin. Our God is a holy and perfect God. He will not be in the presence of sin. So this chasm exists. So God comes to us. We couldn't go to him. So God comes to us. And he comes as a human being. But unlike any other human being, he's without sin. He's perfect in every way. But as a human being, he could step in and take our place. As a human being, he could offer himself up so that the sins of all, the poor decisions, the bad ideas of all of us, would be laid upon him. And he would be punished instead of us. He would die instead of us, only to be raised up again to declare a victory over sin and a victory over death itself. The bottom line is this: he came to be our Savior. He came so that our sins could be forgiven. He came so that our guilt would be washed away. He came so we didn't have to live with remorse. The miracle of the manger is the miracle of the why. Tonight, I hope that you know the miracle of the manger, because the miracle of the manger is for you. But if the miracle of the manger is for you, then you have to understand who was in the manger and why he came. And you'll have to answer for yourself, who was in the manger that night so long ago? C.S. Lewis once said that you really only have three choices. Only three choices of who's in the manger. You can't just say that Jesus was a wise teacher and let it go at that. You can't say that he was a philosopher. You can't say he was a man of high moral integrity because of the claims that he made. Claims that he made of being God, the claims that he made of having the power to forgive sins. When a man like that makes claims like that, you have three choices. The first is this: Jesus made those claims, knowing full well that they weren't true. That would make him a liar. Jesus made those claims, and he truly believed they were true, but they weren't really true. That would make him a lunatic. Or Jesus made those claims, and they are true, and that would make him Lord. That would make him Lord. Who is the babe in the manger for you? If he is your Lord, it changes everything. If he is your Lord, that changes not only your eternal destiny, but even the direction of your life. Because if he is Lord of all, that means that all of the prophecies, all the promises from thousands of years are true because they find fulfillment in Jesus. And if those promises are true, then all of God's promises are true, the promises that he made to you. So if you can answer and believe in the miracle of the who, then you can answer and say, miracle of why? To know that he came for you. Because my friends, you need to know. Jesus sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been naughty, and he loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. That's the power of the why. Jesus came to forgive your sins, time and time again to wipe the slate clean. Jesus came to let you know that there is a divine plan. Even those times when we don't understand what's happening. And you may be there tonight, this Christmas. You may not understand what's happening in your life. And you don't like God's timing because he's not acting fast enough. And you don't like his method because you're asking God, why did you do this to me? Or why did you let that happen to me? Well, I can guarantee you that his first parents asked the very same questions. All the players surrounding his birth didn't understand the timing or the method. As far as they're concerned, Jesus came at exactly the wrong time and exactly the wrong place. But we, looking back, can see Jesus came at just the right moment in just the right way. Because God has a plan for all of history, which means that he has a plan for you. It means that his promise that says that all things, good and bad, will work together for those who love him is true. It means his promise that he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, is true. So even if you're alone tonight, you're not really alone. Because God is always by your side. You have his promise. Because God came into our world. He came to make peace between us and our Father in heaven and to make it possible for us to have peace with our fellow man. Now that's miraculous. That is the miracle of Christmas. The incredible demonstration of God's love to become one of us. It's the miracle of the manger. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we know at just the right time and in just the right way, you sent your Son into our world. We pray tonight that the peace that he brought with him would dwell in our hearts and in our homes. In his name we pray. Amen.